Jesus made each star in heaven. He created earth and sea. He's the keeper of all knowledge, what is past and what will be. Yet he offers his great wisdom, so you will not lose your way. Like a lamp it glows every step, it shows you can know his will each day. Trust his word, trust his word. All God's promises are true. Trust his word, trust his word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust his word. He is not share your heart with him. Jesus walks the path beside you. He has been there all along. And he'll guide your feet when your step is weak and your strength is almost gone. Trust his word. Trust his word.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Great song and choir. Well, tremendous song as well. Let's take the word of God this morning. We will go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. On Sunday mornings, we've been on this journey of faith, our faith in the Lord. And I believe especially in a time in our country, a time in our society, Christians need to grow in their faith. I don't know about you, but in my own personal life, I'm praying, God, increase my faith. Because faith really is the key, it's the element. In fact, we understand that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is keeping our eyes on the Lord, knowing that He is in control, knowing that He is sovereign, knowing that God is working all things together for our good. And when we come to Hebrews chapter 11, we've been going through this journey of these Bible characters. The first time I spoke to you about Abel and how that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was his faith. And then the week after that, we looked at Enoch and how that Enoch walked with God and God took him. And then the week after that, which was last week, I spoke to you about Noah. And how that Noah was warned of God of things nobody had ever seen. And Noah built the giant ark. And today we come to the life of Abraham. Now if you'll notice in our passage that there is a lengthy verses to the life of Abraham and his faith. He was a man of faith. But let me encourage you with something. When you look at Bible characters, sometimes we can get the ideal that these were men and women like we would never be. These are men and women so great in their Christian life, but if you look at the Bible and you study their lives, you will find men and women who failed just like we fail. You'll find men and women who God used them in spite of their sin, in spite of their failures. For instance, Abraham, the Bible talks about his obedience, but we know that Abraham failed God many times. In fact, during a time of famine, we know that Abraham went down to Egypt. He trusted in Egypt rather than in God. And yet God brought him back to himself. And Abraham believed God. Let's look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 6. And let's read this passage together. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Last week we read verse number 7. Let's pick up in verse number 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." This morning I want to preach to you on this subject, the faith of Abraham. Would you join me in a word of prayer right now? And I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to pray for me as I preach the word of God. But I want you to pray for yourself, that the Lord would touch your heart and would speak to you, and that you would be obedient. Let's pray together. Father, it is an honor to stand and to preach your word. Lord, I'm not worthy of this, but I thank you for the privilege. And I pray that you would do a great work in our hearts today. May we leave here with our faith being built stronger. And may we be trusting you like never before. Guide in this service. We pray once again for anyone that does not know Christ, that today they would put their faith and trust in Jesus as the only way to heaven. Father, I look to you by faith now to help me. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. What is Hebrews chapter 11 doing for us? God has given us this chapter to show us these Bible characters, characters of great faith. Now, I want you to be careful. Sometimes as I read the Bible, we can look at these men and think, well, I could never be like Enoch, and I could never be like Abraham, and I could never be like Joseph, and I could never be like Abel. But that's not the intent of Hebrews chapter 11. The intent of Hebrews 11 is the writer is trying to bring us to look past the character, to look past all of their life and what they did or did not do, but to look to the God in whom they trusted. You know, look beyond their faith to the faith of whom they were trusting in. And that is what I want you to see today as we look at the life of Abraham. Look beyond Abraham's faith to the one in whom he placed faith, the Lord God Almighty. You know something? God is not concerned about what you think you should be in your life. What God is concerned is about your faith in Him. Are you believing God? Are you trusting God? Now, I believe that faith, if we live a life of faith, there are expressions of our faith. Our faith is evidenced by our actions. In fact, James chapter 2 tells us that faith without works is dead. The same idea, if you say, husbands, that you love your wives, then you should evidence that in many ways. You can tell her all you want to, I love you, but if you do not live out that love, then she does not believe in your love. And we can say, well, I have faith in God, but how are we evidencing our faith? How are we expressing our faith? Well, Abraham believed God. He faithed God, and he expressed it in his life. By the way, as we think about faith, sometimes we can have this mystical idea of what faith is. Can I simply tell you, as I've told you week after week, faith is placing our soul's confidence in the character of God. The person of God. Who is God? Well, God is faithful. And in fact, Sarah, the Bible says that she had faith in God because she judged him faithful. That's what faith is really about. We believe he is faithful. Listen, my faith is not trusting in who I am, because I look within and I can get pretty discouraged. But my faith is trusting in the one who is faithful, the one who makes no mistakes, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us, the one who loves us with an immeasurable and an uncausing love, an unlimited love. That's my faith. I'm placing it in the person of God, who he is. By the way, faith has many children. Did you know that? Faith has children like rest. Faith has children like peace of mind. Faith has children like calmness in life. And by the way, I think all of us can know when we are not living a life of faith, there is unrest, there is anxiety, there is a lack of peace because we are not living by faith. Folks, may God increase our faith. Now let's look at the life of Abraham here. The Bible tells us that he was a man of faith. Number one, I want you to notice with the life of Abraham, we notice Abraham's obedience. Did you know that if we're living a life of faith, we obey God? We obey God not because we see the outcome, but we are trusting God. We obey God because we know that he has promised to meet our every need. For instance, let's just take some simple matters. You may say, well, how is it that I obey God? Well, you take God at his word. You believe that God will promise, bless you if you obey him. You know something, the devil, he promises us instant gratification. But you know what faith does? Faith says, I'm waiting on God to bless. I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to do it God's way. Well, Abraham obeyed God. Look back in Hebrews chapter 11 and let's notice where the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now let's talk about Abraham's life just for a minute. We know that Abraham dwelt in a pagan land. I mean a pagan country. In fact, the Bible says that God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. If you study history, you will find that Ur of the Chaldees was an amazing civilization. They were the advanced civilization, but they were pagan people. They worshiped a multiplicity of gods, and in the midst of all of that, God called a man by the name of Abraham. Now, if you look in Genesis chapter 11, you will find that Abraham did not really immediately obey God. In fact, the Bible says that it took the death of his own father before Abraham would leave Ur of the Chaldees. You know what? Our God is always in the business of disturbing our lives. You know something? We want God to deliver us, but God is often much more in disturbances in our lives than he is in deliverances in our lives. He is working to get our attention. He is working for us to come to the place to where we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to live my life? Because God wants us to obey Him, not to bring us under some bondage, the exact opposite, to give us great liberty, to give us great freedom. Brethren, I want you to know something. There is freedom in obeying the Lord God. There is great liberty in living the life that He wants us to live. It's not only for our own good, but it's for the good of everyone around us. Abraham lived a life of obedience to God. Now here he is in Ur of the Chaldees. He's in a pagan land. And yet God spoke to Abraham. And you know what Abraham did? He put his faith in the Lord God. He believed on the Lord God. In fact, James chapter 2 talks about how that Abraham believed God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. That's how everyone is saved. They put their faith in Jehovah God. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you something. Life begins when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There are not many ways to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. And it is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Abraham believed God, and because of his belief, he began to obey the Lord. You know what God said to him? God said, Abraham, leave this place. Leave your kindred. Now look, I'll be honest with you. I believe it was tough for Abraham. I mean, here is this advanced civilization. I believe the greatest comforts of all time during that time was in Ur of the Chaldees. His family was there. That's where he was born and raised. And yet God said, Abraham, it's time to leave. You know what? He obeyed God. He believed God and he obeyed the Lord. And brethren, let me tell you something. He sensed this call from God in his soul. He was awakened to the voice of God and he followed the Lord. I wonder this morning, is God speaking to you? Now look, God does not speak to us today as he spoke to Abraham, but God is still speaking. He does not speak in an audible voice today, but he is still speaking. I pray during this service that God speaks to your heart. He deals with you. Maybe he reminds you of something in your life that you are not obeying him in. Maybe he deals with you about sin in your life. There is a God in heaven who is still speaking today. I believe he speaks through circumstances of our lives. I believe he can speak through other Christians, but God mainly speaks through his precious word. And you know what faith is? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And brethren, Abraham obeyed God. Folks, God is calling us to obey him in an unbelieving world. Do you know that today we live in an unbelieving world? Often we are surrounded by people that do not believe God. They don't trust God, but God has called us, like he has called Abraham, out of Ur of the Chaldees, to obey him and to believe him. Folks, we are called to follow the Lord. We are called to obey him. We are called to demonstrate our obedience by our words and by our deeds. In fact, you know something, can you imagine Abraham? Here he is. He's grew up in Ur of the Chaldees. He loves the place. That's where he got married to his wife, Sarah. And I mean, here they are, and now they're going to leave. And maybe someone comes up to Abraham and says, hey, Abraham, I hear you're leaving. Where are you going? And you know what he says? Not really sure. Maybe they said, Abraham, you might want to find that out before you leave. You know what? In fact, if I were to get in the car with my family and say, Dad, where are we going? I don't really know. They might not want to go with me, you know? We understand that. No doubt they mocked Abraham. No doubt they laughed at him. Abraham, are you kidding me? You don't know where you're going? But I believe Abraham maybe would have said, I really don't know, but I know this. I know that God has spoken to me. And I know that God is leading me. And I don't know where I'm going, but I know whom has called me. I know who has spoken to me and who has dealt with me. The only true and living God has spoken to my heart, I believe Abraham could have said. And I know he is leading me, and I am following him wherever he leads me. In fact, do you know that James chapter 2 tells us that Abraham was the friend of God? Now think about that. Look, have you ever maybe said of someone, that person is my friend? Now, you know what? I could say that about certain people, and they might say about me, I don't even know him. He's not my friend. But you know what? God said of Abraham, he is my friend. He is the friend of God. And you know what? Abraham had such a communion with God. He was so acquainted with God that God said, he's the friend of God. Think of that. You know why? Because he obeyed God. Brethren, do you know that we evidence our faith in God by obeying Him even when an unbelieving world says it's not worth following God? Why would you even do that? Why would you live that kind of life? Listen, this is the life here and now. Get all you can get here and now. But Abraham, he went out not knowing whither he went, but he did know the one whom had sent him out. That's his faith. He obeyed God. Brethren, there will be many times in life that God will ask you to live a life of faith in obedience, because there will be many times in your life as a practicing Christian when people do not understand your actions of faith. They don't understand your life of obedience to God. And if you are truly a follower of Christ, you must follow Him. People may say, well, why do you go to church? It's not worth going to church, but you're believing God. People may say, well, why do you pay the tithe? Why do you do that? Because you believe God. Why do you live that kind of separated life that makes no sense in this world? Because you believe God. You faith God. The faith life is a life of obedience to God. We see, number one, Abraham's obedience. Number two, I want you to notice this. We see Abraham's outlook. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't want you to answer it out loud, but think about this. How has been the outlook of most people during the last few months? An outlook of hopelessness, an outlook of fear, an outlook of despair, an outlook of anger, an outlook of frustration. We've seen that kind of outlook, have we not? But may I tell you that if you are a person of faith in the God who sees everything that is happening, and a God who holds the reins of this universe, a God who knows what is going on in our life, then your outlook is an outlook of faith. Abraham's outlook on life was right because he lived a life of faith. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to notice what it says. Once again, back in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, no, I want you to know something. He had an outlook that was different than everybody else. Here was Abraham. He left Ur of the Chaldees. I think some people would have said, Abraham, you're crazy to leave this area. I mean, Abraham, this is the best of the best right here. Man, things are happening right here. This is going to be a great civilization. And historians tell us that Ur of the Chaldees was unlike any other place during that time. And yet God said, Abraham, I want you to leave all the comforts of where you're at, all the conveniences of where you're at. I want you to leave the familiarity of where you're at. And I want you to go, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but I want you to trust me. You see, because Abraham's outlook was right on this world in which he was living in, he could believe God. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about, our outlook? I mean this. Folks, do you know that this world in which we live in is a world that will come to an end one day? In fact, do you know the life that you are living? The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die. Listen, we're not living here on earth forever. We're just passing through. In fact, the Bible says, as it talks about, and look in verse number 13, it talks about all these that died in faith. Verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what? They all had the right outlook. You know what they said? We are strangers and we are pilgrims on the earth. Do you view your life that way? You say, what do you mean? The word stranger means that we don't belong here. Have you ever been someplace before and you thought to yourself, I really don't belong here, you know? Have you ever thought that before? I remember when God led my wife and I from Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, you know that was tough, leaving Knoxville, Tennessee, all right? And I remember when we went to Peoria, Illinois, and my grandfather called it Yankee Land there, you know? And I'd never been there before. I remember when I went there, I remember I was used to, as a Tennessean, waving at people. You talk to perfect strangers, they know you. You know, you're probably related to them somehow, you know? And but I remember driving down the road, and the guy was walking the road. I waved at him. Boy, he looked at me and thought, what in the world? I remember saying to my wife, I don't think we belong here, you know? I just don't think this is the same place. I would ask for sweet tea, and they would look at me so strange in a restaurant. Man, in Tennessee, it comes out of the water fountains, you know? I mean, it's just a part of life there. It comes out of the mountains, you know? But anyway, but, you know, I felt so much like, where have I come to? But listen, I use that illustration to point out this point. Folks, we are strangers here on this earth. The world is a stranger to us. Can I tell you why? We don't belong here. Because this is not our final home. Heaven is our home if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are just passing through. You know what Abraham did all of his life? He was a nomad. He was a tent dweller. You know what Abraham, he just went from place to place. He was saying, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. His outlook was an outlook of faith that this world is not his final resting place. Brethren, I just want to say this to you. Our outlook always determines our actions. Our outlook. How do you see this world in which we live in? How do you see your life? How do you see the opportunities that God has given you? If your outlook is wrong, your actions will be wrong. If we really believe in the consequences of sin, as the Bible tells us, we would live a different life. If we really believe that God loves us and cares for us, we would surrender ourselves to Him. Listen, what you believe determines your behavior. Abraham believed that God was going to give him a land whose builder and maker was God. And you know what? Abraham dwelt like a stranger. He dwelt as a pilgrim. You see, this world, he knew the world was not his home. He was just a passing through. Now, folks, let me say this to you. That doesn't mean that God does not want us to enjoy life here on this earth. Listen, God gives us blessings to enjoy. That doesn't mean that we are not to have a home here on this earth. But I believe many of us would admit that many of us have put our roots too deeply in this world. We've anchored our hope and our belief and our confidence here. By the way, why is there a hopelessness in our world today? Because if people look at the world and all the rioting and all the violence and all the sin and all the disregard and all of that, you know what? You can be pretty hopeless. But if you look at this world and say, guess what? This world's not my final home. I'm just passing through. That changes everything about us because our outlook is right. Our outlook is that we will spend eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. I'm just passing through. That means this. If my outlook is right, I'm going to lay up treasure in heaven because heaven is my real home. If my outlook is right, I'm going to live like Christ wants me to live and share the gospel with everyone that I can because heaven is my home. You see, Abraham's outlook was an outlook of faith. Oh, folks, have you put your roots too deeply here? I remember years ago a preacher was preaching and he gave an illustration that I think is a wonderful illustration. But he talked about how that, he said, what would it be like if you went to a motel and you were just going to stay there just for 2-3 days? But when you went to your room and noticed the room, you just didn't like all the accommodations there. And so you picked up the phone, you ordered a new bed because you just didn't like that bed. And you ordered new paint so you could paint the walls. And you ordered new furniture. You laugh. And we kind of joke about that. You say, that'd be foolish to do that. Because why? You're just passing through. That doesn't mean we cannot enjoy life here and now that God has given us. He gives us family. He gives us things to richly enjoy. But it does mean this. It means that our outlook should be an outlook of faith. It means that our eyes should be focused not just here on this world, because this world is just passing through. One day this world will be no more. But heaven awaits every child of God. Heaven for all of eternity. This morning my son and I were on the way to church, and he was coming in to work on the bus route, and him and I, just every Sunday morning we have that time just to be together, and I'm thankful for that. But you know something, we were talking about loved ones that have already gone on home to be with the Lord. We were talking about some people in our church that I miss greatly, and I know that you've missed them. And you know what I thought this morning? I thought, you know what, if life here on earth is all we have, then this is a miserable world to live in. If all we do is live here and die here and our body goes in the grave and that is it, then I'm going to tell you something, this is a hopeless world to live in. But that is not it. I have the promise that those loved ones, I'm going to see them again one day. And not just see them, have all of eternity to be with them. I'm looking for a world whose builder and maker is God. A place of no sorrow, of no sickness, of no suffering, of no violence. It's a wonderful place. That is the home for every child of God here this morning. So folks, you know, during this pandemic time, I've tried to preach messages on hope and putting our faith in the Lord. But honestly, when we get our outlook right, when we see that we can believe in a God who has given us a place called heaven, and that heaven is really our home, and we're just strangers, we're just pilgrims here passing through, it changes everything about our lives because our outlook is right. Folks, we are thinking so much of this world and not thinking much of the world to come. We are thinking so much of our time here rather than thinking of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you living your life that will make a difference for eternity? Listen, the things that trouble us, some of us, they don't really matter. The things that worry us and rob us of peace and joy, it's just here on this earth. Let us live for eternity. By the way, you're in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you something else as we read on here. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11, and I just want to quickly talk about this. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. You know, that past 90 years of age. I mean, think about it. We find later on where when the angel revealed to her that she was going to have a child, she laughed. Now, let's not be too hard on her. What if you were 90 and God said you're going to have a child? You'd do just what you're doing now. And that's what Sarah did. My dad, mom, we were joking with them years ago when all of us were out of the home and we were back for a Christmas. And I said, you know, Dad, Mom, it'd be kind of cool if you guys had another child now, you know, and I think they were in their early 60s at the time. And I said, Dad, really, what would you do if Mom had another child? He said, well, son, I'd sit down in sackcloth and ashes and weep and mourn. And then I'd go back to work for the rest of my life, you know. And that's about right, you know. But think about Sarah just for a moment. We joke. She laughed because she thought, Lord, are you kidding me? Me? At this age? But the Bible says, through faith also Sarah. And I think God put this in here to help us. Can I say this to you, ladies? You can do so much to help your husband by living a life of faith. In fact, let's think just for a moment. Abraham said, Sarah, honey, we're leaving everything here. Okay, where are we going? Not really sure, honey. Where are we going to live? We're going to live in a tent, Sarah. That's great, isn't it? Tent. But you know what? Through faith, she said, I'm with you. Through faith, she stood by his side. Through faith, she believed God. Not because really her faith was in Abraham. Look what it says in verse number 11 at the very end. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I love that phrase there, because really, faith is not us. gaining enough strength to have faith in God. That's not it. Faith is really our outlook on who God is. Who do you believe God is this morning? Do you know what? Some of us, let's be honest, we just don't think God is faithful. That's why we don't have great faith. We think God has failed us in some areas in our life. And by the way, the devil works hard at accusing God to us. He is the accuser of the brethren. And the very moment something happens in your life that you think is not fair, or you think that God has failed you in some way, the devil is quick to accuse God. The devil, he whispers to us, yeah, boy, God must not love you as much as he loves other people, because look at all you're going through. Boy, God is just not. But Sarah judged him faithful. Do you know that every one of us, we judge God in our hearts? We do. We judge God whether he is faithful or not. And I want you to know something. Whether you believe he is faithful or not, he is the faithful God. He makes no mistakes. His love and care for you and me never falters or fails. Our outlook must be right, and it must be an outlook of faith in God. You see, Abraham lived a life of obedience. And secondly, Abraham's outlook was an outlook of faith. Number three, and the last thing this morning, we see Abraham's obedience, Abraham's outlook, but number three, Abraham's offering. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. To talk about Abraham offering up his son is hard for us to imagine, is it not? It really is. In fact, let's go on here. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 16. The Bible says, let's start if you would please in verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, that's a great word there. That word accounting means the sum total. He reckoned it. He considered it. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, let's talk just for a moment about Abraham offering up his son. In fact, would you take your Bibles and go to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, and let's go to chapter number 22. Now, let me just note the obvious. Abraham knew that it was wrong, according to God, to take the life of another person. I mean, let's just be honest. That troubles us, does it not? God said, Abraham, I want you to offer up your son as a sacrifice. But Abraham knew, he knew that God in his word had said that no man is to take the life of another man. But can I just say this to you? I don't know that I can explain it to you totally, but let me just say this to you. God did tell him to do what seems unreasonable. In fact, you know that the Bible says, thou shalt not make any graven image, but God did instruct Moses to make a brazen serpent. Folks, let's just put it this way. Let's let God be God, and he is the one who can say whatever needs to be done. Amen. And God instructed Abraham to offer up his son. Now, let's stop and say this. Do you not believe that the devil accused God to Abraham during that time? I believe so. I believe the devil probably said to Abraham, this is your God? This is the one who wants you to offer up your own son? That makes no sense, Abraham. And no doubt there was a struggle of faith in Abraham's heart. But let's look at the story. Genesis chapter 22, let's begin in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now let me explain that word tempt. It was not a solicitation to do evil. He was trying his faith to purify his faith, to grow his faith. The Bible says that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice verse number 3 in the beginning. He rose up early. He did not hasten. He didn't wait around. He obeyed the Lord. Verse number 4. Then on the third day, the Bible says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And would you notice this next phrase? And come again to you. Abraham knew that God was going to take care of everything. And he said, We're coming back, just to let you know. The Bible goes on and says, verse number 6, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac says, Dad, where's the lamb? We're here to sacrifice. But look what it says in verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now let me stop before I read on. We might think that Isaac was just a young boy, but most commentators believe that Isaac was between 30 and 40 years of age. He was a strapping young man. He could have easily delivered himself from being bound by his father, Abraham, who was up in age. But here is a picture of servanthood. Here is the picture of surrender. Here is the picture of Isaac believing God as well. The Bible goes on to say, verse number 10, And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That means God will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now let me explain something to you. Brethren, Abraham lived in a time of progressive revelation. What I mean by that is God continually revealed himself time and time again. Jehovah Jireh, that's the first time that God revealed himself as the Lord will provide. Now, brethren, God would never ask of us to do such a thing as what he asked of Abraham, because we have the complete revelation of God. It's found in his precious word. God does not speak to us as he spoke to Abraham, because now we are living in the dispensation that we have the word of God and the Spirit of God indwells us. Now, after Jesus has died and rose again from the grave. But God called upon Abraham to make an offering. Let me say this to you. Abraham was called upon to do something that seemed unreasonable to him. And by the way, when Abraham obeyed God and he was going to take the life of his son, can I tell you something? Because of his act of faith, he blessed everyone around him, his family, and literally for the whole world. And folks, do you know something? If you and I exercise faith, it will not only strengthen us, but it will be a blessing and a help to everyone after us. Parents, when you exercise faith and believe God and take God at His word and step out on faith. And listen, stepping out on faith is not stepping out in the dark. It's taking God at His word. It's believing what God has told us through His word. And we trust Him. That's what Abraham did. But folks, if you and I do not exercise faith on our journey, our Christian life is going to diminish. It is going to dry up and wither because our Christian life grows because of faith. Faith gives us that growth in our Christian life as we trust in Him and as we believe on Him. Abraham was asked to do the most difficult thing that any man has ever been asked to do outside of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who bled and died upon the cross. Think of what Abraham was asked to do. God instructed him to offer his son in spite of everything. Would you go back to Hebrews chapter 11? Because I want to show you this in closing. Now, here's a question. Why would God give Abraham a son and say, Abraham, it's through Isaac that I will bring the promise? It's through Isaac that all the blessings are coming. If Abraham kills Isaac, the blessing is done. I mean, the promise is over. But notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. I love this. Back in verse number 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, God tested him. God tried his faith, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Notice this. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here the writer says, listen, it's through Isaac that the seed would be called. The promise was given. If Abraham kills his own son, what about the promise of God? Folks, God really gave no reason to Isaac to offer up his son. And I want to say this to you. Faith does not demand explanations from God. Faith rests on God's promises. Do you know where we battle and where I battle? God, why? Now look, we say to ourselves, if God would tell me why, I could trust Him. But that's not faith. Faith is taking God at His word. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, what has God promised us? Listen, the Bible is full of the promises of God. In fact, someone said there's over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. He's promised that He will meet your every need. He's promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised that His mercy endures forever. He's promised that He will lead and guide and direct you. Listen, all throughout the Bible, we have the promises of God. And faith doesn't demand a reason. It doesn't demand an explanation from God. It rests on the Word of God. That's why when we get into the Bible and God's Word gets in our heart, it grows our faith. We take God at His word. Do you know something? Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable and to do what seems unreasonable. I know what some of you may think. Well, Lord, I don't really need this trial in my life. But folks, may I say to you, that's where faith really grows. Is where God puts something to us that seems unbearable or something that seems unreasonable. I mean, let's think about Abraham. Did he love his son? You better believe it. I mean, it was the only son they had at the time. I mean, listen, Abraham is thinking, this is Isaac. This is God's blessing. Look what God has given to me. And now God says, offer him up. Give him up. Give him. How could Abraham do it? We read in Hebrews 11, look what it says in verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Do you know what Abraham believed? Abraham, the man who believed that God was able. In fact, in verse number 19, you ought to underline that little phrase, accounting that God was able. God is able. Do you know what Abraham did? Abraham said, I don't understand this, and it breaks my heart to think about it. I love my son. In fact, God gave him to me. God promised to give Isaac to me. And yet I know the voice of the Lord. And I'm going to take God at His word. Because look, do you remember what happened to Abraham? Here he is, an old man. God resurrects, in a sense, his body and Sarah's body, that they are able to have children. I mean, God, I mean, that was a miracle of God. God resurrected that within their bodies. And Abraham knew that if God could resurrect them to have a child, then God could raise that boy from the grave. He accounted that God was able to raise him up. Now, by the way, you know what's really odd about this? There had never been, at this point, a resurrection from the dead. I mean, you think about faith. He is putting his faith not on what he has seen, not on what he has heard, but on the voice of God. Brethren, today, I want to say this to you. How could Abraham do this? And folks, people say, how can you live that kind of life? How can you believe God? How can you do it? Because we believe that God is able. We believe that God will bless. We believe that God sees us and knows every detail of our life. By the way, how can someone live in sin? Because they don't believe that God sees them. They don't take God at His word. How can anyone live a life that is separated to God, a holy life? They believe that God will bless them. Abraham believed that God was able. By the way, on what did Abraham depend? Oh, listen, Abraham couldn't depend on his feelings. By the way, we like to feel good, do we not? We do. We so often depend so much on our feelings, but you cannot trust your feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are never reliable. What if Abraham had but trusted his feelings? He would have never offered up his son. I mean, let's be honest. He was a daddy who loved that boy. I mean, it was the apple of his eye. He cared for him, but he took God at His word. He believed in God and that God was able. And I want to ask you a question this morning. What is your Isaac that you are not willing to surrender to the Lord? God would never ask us to take the life of someone else, not as He asked Abraham. But all of us have some Isaacs in our lives. We have some things that are hindering us from following the Lord. And it's precious to us. I mean, it's important. In fact, if we base it on our feelings, guess what? We'll never do it. In fact, there's people that are lost and without Jesus Christ. And you know something? They will not humble themselves to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They are not willing to surrender and submit to God. Do you have some Isaacs this morning in your life that you're not willing to believe that God is able? Oh, folks, today, this is often where you and I have such struggles in life, that we're not willing to faith God. Think about Abraham and his obedience. And this morning, where are you not obedient to God? What area in your life right now, if you're lost and without Jesus Christ, do you know the Lord has commanded you to repent and to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's a command. Oh, listen, it's a command that this is the day of salvation. You are to obey what God has said, and that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, who died for you. And there is no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not through the church. It's not through baptism. It's not through good works. It is only through Jesus' shed blood, His death, and His resurrection from the grave. But Christian, child of God, what area right now are you not obeying the Lord? What area? And you know where it's anchored to? Your faith in God. You don't obey because you just don't believe that God is faithful. But how's your outlook today? I'm out and about and I go see people, and you know what I find in our society right now? People are so discouraged and distressed. What are we going to do about everything in our world? Folks, if your faith outlook is right and it's on Jesus and on the world to come, that heaven is our real home, guess what? No one is going to destroy heaven. No one is going to tear it down. It's because it's a place where God rules and reigns, and it's a place of perfect peace. How's your outlook? It goes all the way back to our faith and then our offering. What are we not willing to give up for the Lord? Folks, today, you know something, by the way, if you read in Genesis, you will find something. When Abraham yielded, can I tell you, the trial was over. When he surrendered, it was done. God blessed him. And folks, today, we have a God in heaven who sees our hearts. He knows our faith life. And oh, may God help our faith to grow. The faith of Abraham. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for the opportunity to preach Your word again in this pulpit. But Lord, now I cannot do the work. I ask you now, Spirit of God, to convince people of the truth. And for people that do not know Christ, that today they would be convinced that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Lord, search us now. Try us. Reveal to us what needs to be revealed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many this morning would say, Pastor, as you were preaching, God has dealt with me. And I see this morning and know that I am not a child of God. Heaven is not my home. I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus. And Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me. And I know this morning that I need to obey the Lord. And I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. If that is you this morning, I'll not embarrass you or call you out. But if God has dealt with you and you don't know where you would go if you died, and you know that you need Jesus as your Savior, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Would you pray for me this morning? No one is looking. I just want to pray for you. Lift your hand and hold it up high if that is you. Now I want to ask you, child of God, how many would say this morning, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me about areas of my life that I'm not obeying Him. And God has spoken to my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. That's me. Yes. Thank you. You may put your hands down. How many would say, Pastor, my outlook, maybe on your family, on the world, on other people, your outlook is not right because your eyes are not on Christ. You say, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me about my outlook on life or this world. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. How many would say today, Pastor, God has dealt with me about something in Isaac in my life that I need to surrender so that I can know His blessing. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. Pray for me this morning. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's do business with the Lord. Let's let Him have His way. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless this invitation now as we sing and as we come before You. Do Your work in our hearts and help us to be obedient before You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymn. Let's go to hymn number 470. The piano's going to begin to play and we're going to sing. But if God has dealt with you, maybe you'd like to come and sit on the front pew here and pray. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll be glad to pray with you and help you in any way. Hymn number 470, I've decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. You can remain standing. And I want to thank for your faithfulness. I know that this is a holiday weekend, but what a great crowd here. And tonight, I trust that you can be right in your place at 6 o'clock this evening. And I'm praying that God would use the message in a special way. And I'm looking forward to it. I pray that you can be here. May God help us to grow in our faith. And maybe we ought to pray this week. Let's pray together that the Lord would help our faith to grow and decrease. Brother Stevenson's coming, and he's going to close us in a word of prayer. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out. We'll be standing outside there, and thank you so much.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us, and Lord, thank you for the example that we see in Scripture of Abraham and how his faith caused him to do things that are not normal. And Lord, I pray that our lives would not be to the norm, not be just like everyone else, not be like this world, but Lord, I pray that we would be separated and we would step out in faith just like Abraham did, not knowing where we may be going, but always trusting you to lead us every step of the way. Lord, I pray that we would still let the Word of God be the light unto our path and that we would let you lead us. Lord, lead us throughout this week as we talk to other people. I pray that we would share this testimony of Abraham with those that are around us, with our family members, with our co-workers. And Lord, may we be a witness in this dark world. Lord, be with us and give us safety. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.